Welcome in, Lineup Logic fans, to the Fantasy Fader Out for Week 5. The full gang is back this week. We've got Mike Alexander, a.k.a. Roto underscore Juan. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Quaffo?
And back from the infirmary, we have Jason Moschel, a.k.a. Underscore J Moschel, right, on Twitter?
Yeah, no underscore, but just J Moschel.
No underscore? Yeah, yeah, we should know this by now, right? We're 5 weeks into this dance. See what happens, you miss a week, we get these things. So, how's everybody doing this week?
Good, man.
Yeah, good week to be a Patriots fan.
It is, and a bad week to be a Lions fan, just like 40 years of bad years of being Lions fans. But
bad week for the Eagles, too.
Yeah, you know. But you got that, you got those that championship ring to kind of keep you warm at night at this point. So.
Yeah. So that, yeah, kind of capitalize while the window's open, though.
Exactly, exactly. So, wanted a couple quick things. I know we have some great intro music. Again, Jason, you want to talk a little bit about our intro music for this week?
Yeah, it's just my friend's band, Miles and Minutes. They're out of New Orleans. None of those guys for a real long time. They were kind enough to let us use some of their music.
Exactly. It's a kind of nice and upbeat way to kind of get us rolling for the week's action. And again, for those that are new to the Fantasy Fade Route, want to say thank you for joining and listening. We appreciate all the feedback we're getting on the podcast. And for those that aren't ready subscribers to the Lineup Logic community through the Patreon site, please go ahead and do that. $10 a month gets you access to all the sports you're ever going to want and more in the DFS landscape. There's some season-long talk in there. There's talk on, you know, we got playoff baseball. We got preseason NBA. Obviously, the NFL is going. $10 a month gets you all that access to the Slack chat, to cheat sheets, to a variety and a cornucopia of things that are going to make you a better daily fantasy player, season-long player, whatnot. And again, you meet so many great people in that space. So highly commend that to folks. $10 a month through patreon.com, and go ahead and be a part of the community that way. Guys, before we get into the breakdown for week 5, we're quarter way through the season, so it's moving fast. We're already in October. That's what always happens. We spend so much time thinking about the NFL and the off season, and then it comes and it kind of just goes through like a freight train. I'm going to start with you, Mike. If you want to give me one thing that kind of sticks out to you right now as we've reached pretty much a quarter pole of the season.
Oh, man, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up Pat Mahomes. I mean, he was on the road in one of the toughest stadiums to play in Denver. You got the elevation, the crowd. Really hard to go into their house and beat them, period. And, you know, the joke on Twitter this week is his worst game is beating a good defense in their home building. That's a huge advantage with that performance.
On Monday night.
Yeah, on Monday night. Throw a pass left-handed. Yeah, lots of good stuff to jump into there. So that's just – he's going to be expensive rest of the season, but the touchdown production could be worth it.
Is he almost – and we'll get into this when we get to their game this week. Is he almost to the unfadeable point? I mean, his price is going to – as you said, be elevated, but is he almost unfadeable at this point? I mean, the guy just produces.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say unfadeable. Like somebody had said a smart thing about Tyreek Hill early on this season. They said, you know what, I'm just going to dedicate $50 a week to Tyreek Hill lineups. That way I know I've got him the week he goes off. Like, I think Pat Mahomes is that same territory. Like, put a piece of your budget on Mahomes lineups and just don't have to make that decision.
Exactly. Yeah, no, there's some special going on in Kansas City. They showed me a lot last night. So what about you, Jason? Anything standing out in the first quarter of the season?
It's really just like the emergence of all these like wide receiver twos, like taking on bigger roles in their teams. We know it's like kind of a copycat league, and when teams have success doing stuff, other teams will take that idea and run with it. And something the Patriots have done for a long time is – try and take away the best weapon of the other team. And it looks like a lot of the other teams are finally catching on that it's a successful way to win games. And we're seeing like you know, AJ Green getting, you know, double covered constantly. So you got Tyler Boyd coming out, you know, Sterling Shepard does it every time, you know, the last 2 years, Evan Engram is out. But it's just like all the way across the league, you're seeing that where the twos are actually being more productive than the ones right now.
Yeah, it's a great observation. Like you said, Atlanta as well has got, you know, Calvin Ridley there coming. You know, he's more, I guess he's a 2/3, but he's got so much production now because people try to take away Julio. And so, yeah, I'm totally there with you. One thing that stands out for me, if I just look at an individual player, and again, just probably being close to home and watching a little bit of the game on Sunday, is Zeke Elliott just does everything for the Cowboys, mm-hmm. and that's going to continue. I didn't think the pass-catching ability was viable, but I've been proven wrong in the fact that they don't have other threats to really stretch the field. I mean, he had that nice wheel route for a big gainer on Sunday against the Lions. He's in play pretty much every week, even against stack boxes. Just if they're gonna move the ball, it's gonna be with him. So just kind of keep that in mind as we move throughout the season. They seem to kind of be righting the ship a little bit in Dallas. So Zeke Elliott in that production is very eye-opening for me, at least.
For sure.
All right. Well, folks, let's get into the weekly breakdown. We'll go through as we do. We'll give you the over-unders. We'll give you kind of the current Vegas line. And then we'll go into a little bit of detail on just a few players from each game in question. So we'll start with the Thursday night affair, and we won't spend a lot of time on it because it's not part of the main slate. But Indianapolis travels to New England. The Patriots seem to right the ship. The over-under for that game is 51.5. The Patriots are a big favorite, 10.5-point favorites. For this week, Jason, why don't you run through the home team? So you start with your squad in New England here.
Yeah, the Patriots get Julian Edelman back. That's going to help out a lot. He's been Tom's safety blanket for quite a bit. Sonny Michel looks to have that backfield now. I know James White was still catching a bunch of passes. A couple rushes here and there, but it looks like it's going to be Sony's job, which I'm real excited about. So,
yeah, the kid's got a lot of talent.
This
is his job now, as you said. He's really, really he showed well this past week, and the talent is starting to emerge there. And he's got the right guy to kind of direct him in Belichick and in McDaniels.
Yeah, they'll see. Hopefully they'll be able to get. Tom's been struggling like a lot early in the season, getting his rhythm going. So with Jules back, I think that'll help a lot because that's, you know, it's him and Gronk kind of run that offense with Tom.
Anything on the Colts side of the ball here, Mike?
You know, I know the Colts have been competitive so far in most of their games, but what I don't like is they've kind of played into their opponent's preferred like pace and game script. You saw with the Eagles, they played a little bit more of a balanced affair, and with the Texans last week, they got drugged into a shootout. Until they find their identity, I'm not going to love picking them outright, and along with that, some of their, you know, players there. Luck, he had a great week, but in a shootout, that should happen. I'm okay using him if you need to in like a season-long situation, but probably not interested for DFS. Outside of him, like, there's just not a lot to like with T.Y. Hilton hurt. They're getting Robert Turbin back this week, so that backfield gets even muddier. Maybe Eric Ebron. He bailed people out late last week with some fourth quarter production, but
is that going to be the running thing for us this year? Is Eric Ebron? I mean, he did bail people out with that touchdown.
It was close to disastrous. That's going to be our thing. It was close to disastrous.
Yeah. So I think I think DFS strategy for this game. I've looked at a lot of different sites and things that they recommend for doing. You know, if you're playing a single game slate, you may want to go ahead and try to jam in both quarterbacks in this game with that high over-under. And you know, the Colts have to have some level of production here, even though their implied total is only about 20 points. I mean, if you can get both quarterbacks in, maybe Michelle, and just kind of fill in the rest with maybe kickers and such, differentiate yourself a little bit. And I think it's kind of a winning formula for this week is to not put any, you know, not put any, play any defenses and kind of just go with two quarterbacks and then kind of fill the rest of your roster on both sides. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, all right, we'll move on to the Sunday 1 o'clock games. We'll start with the favorite discussion team for me, right? The Detroit Lions are hosting their division rival, the Green Bay Packers. Nice over under of 50.5 points. The Packers are road favorites by 1.5 points. Jason, why don't you go into a little detail on the Detroit Lions?
Is Kerryon Johnson a thing now?
I don't know. I mean,
if he could get double digit carries.
Yeah, I just don't think they want to commit, right? It's like you know, one of those college relationships. We're just kind of playing it by ear here. You know, we're just kind of maybe the toothbrush stays at someone's house. Yeah. It's like maybe you know, toothbrush. What else is there? I mean, he's got all the talent in the world, but I think he will be a thing by the end of the year. But they just you know, they just are still heavily relying on the passing game in Detroit. So I don't know. I don't know if he's a thing. I think he's more of a season-long guy for me than a DFS play at this point.
Yeah. Other than that, I was just wanted your take on Kerryon. So but you know, you've got your three big pass catchers there. They really don't. They, you know, other than those guys, Matt Stafford. They don't really have a tight end of note, so Tate, Galladay, and Marvin.
And I think those three receivers, a lot of production there. Like, you can pretty much pencil them in almost every week for a lot of production. I mean, Tate's on the field somewhere in the order of 85% to 90% of the snaps. The other guys take the lion's share, the rest of targets, and are on the field a little bit more. But all three of those guys are really good plays, I think, especially this week, too, against the Packers. So.
Yeah.
Kenny Galladay's going to feast.
Yeah. I think all three of them. I mean, just the way Stafford, like, kind of spreads the ball around. You know, Tate's going to get the most targets. But, you know, the other two guys just being, like, those touchdown threats. It's going against Green Bay, which, you know, is always going to put up points. We saw Aaron Rodgers running around and stuff. Like, his knee didn't seem to be bothering him. So if he can do that, then Green Bay is going to put up points and Detroit's going to answer.
Mike, anything with the Packers other than number 12 there? What else do you like with the Packers squad?
Yeah, Rodgers in the dome against an offense that can score points is a great spot. Yeah, it seems like the trend is pretty clear. Aaron Jones is the running back who's going to give any production out of that backfield, especially in a competitive game where they might feel like they need to get the production out of him versus a comfortable game. They can just leave Jamal Williams out there to protect Aaron Rodgers in passing situations. If Geronimo Allison goes, he's got a concussion. You know, they've cleared receivers pretty quickly in the past in Green Bay, so it wouldn't surprise me if he's ready to go Sunday. He's a nice option. He's having a good season. Rodgers has shown some trust in him. But if he doesn't go, Jimmy Graham should suck up some targets there.
Yeah, he you know, had a decent game this past week as well. So, yeah, I like those plays on Green Bay for sure. And Jones is really going to emerge kind of in the same vein as Kerryon on the other side. Jones is going to – the talent's going to win out, and he's actually, I think, going to be the way to go. And the Lions haven't shown any proclivity to stop the run. So
no.
He's probably a very good play on Sunday. All right, let's move on. Let's move to the Queen City. Miami is going in after getting thumped by those Patriots. They're going to play the Bengals. The over-under is 50. And the Bengals are hefty six-point favorites. Mike, you want to go ahead and talk a little bit about the Dolphins on this one?
This is kind of an interesting last year, given that the Dolphins don't really want to run too many plays and neither do the Bengals. That number of 50 is kind of surprising to me. I guess that's Vegas showing its lack of confidence in either defense.
Yeah, and it's moving down, as I'm looking right now, it's moved down to 49.5, so it may settle at maybe 49.
Right, yeah. So, you know, the Dolphins are a safe offense. They want high efficiency, but they don't want to take chances, especially with their passing game. I think the Bengals, the place to still attack is the rushing options. Too bad that the Dolphins, you don't know if it's going to be Drake or Gore or what there. If I had to pick one, it would be Drake, given that he's got the ability to break a 30-plus some yard run. He showed that last season. He hasn't been able to do it so far this year, but now's the time if it's going to happen in a matchup. And then Devontae Parker being a kind of a surprise inactive, that opens up the passing game a little bit more. You know, instead of four guys, they've got three, and even at that, Albert Wilson, I've only got minimal interest. If you're looking for a volume play, Danny Amendola. If you're looking for the upside guy, it's Kenny Stills.
Yeah, Dolphins. And this might be a week to get them, since most people are going to see the dud they laid up in Foxborough and say, I don't want any part of the Dolphins. So you may be able to get some of these guys on the cheap and fit them in. What about the Bengals here, Jason? What do you see on the Bengals side of the ball?
I'm kind of wondering who's going to step up at tight end for them now that Eifert's out.
Oh, that was gruesome. Oh,
it's, yeah. Oh. It's traditionally been Tyler Croft, but Uzomah was on the field after Eifert went out. Uzomah was the one that was on the field the whole time. So that's kind of going to, I guess, have to watch some reports, some practice reports, and see who's getting more work. See if the coaches say anything this week.
I think another thing here is to probably watch in the backfield, right? If Mixon is cleared to play in practice. I know this is an early week podcast for folks being taped on Tuesday night, so obviously you want to kind of be looking at Twitter and all sorts of other sites you can get insight on. But Joe Mixon, for me, if he can go this week, is a nice play. And if he can't, Gio Bernard has played admirably. He played well last week.
Yeah, it's a... They pretty much just run one back there, with Mixon. Mixon, if he's ready to go, he's going to get tons of work. Gio gets sprinkled in, but it's not, they don't like really split the backfield a whole lot. So, and then Tyler Boyd, man, dude's good. It's that wide receiver too that I was talking about at the top, like. AJ Green gets a lot of attention, and it's rightly deserved attention. AJ Green's a beast, and it's just opening it up a lot for Tyler Boyd.
What do we think about Andy Dalton as a GPP play this week?
Don't love it.
Yeah, neither do I. I have him pretty low in my rankings.
Miami's secondary is not that bad. They've got some players there.
Power.
The only reason I bring it up is the over-under is what it is at 49.5, if you want to call it that right now. He's shown production. He's been involved in some shootouts already this year. Even without Eifert, it's going to be more concentrated offense. There's worse options on the board, I'm just going to say, in one of the next games. You may see a worse option, but worse options on the board than Andy Dalton. So I don't mind him in the GPP. I don't mind him as a maybe low-owned guy in terms of fire. Maybe not cash games, though.
Yeah, I just wonder if people are going to feel a little bit comfortable with him after last week, what he did.
Yeah, very good. All right, let's move on to the other Queen City in Charlotte, and the Giants are going to face the Carolina Panthers. The over-under here is 44. Panthers are a touchdown favorite. Jason, what do you like from the Panthers side of the ball?
Cam Newton, Christian McCaffrey, their impromptu tight end, Devin Funches.
I like these offenses that are emerging like this, where we're just getting, it's perfect for fantasy players, where you just know where the production's coming from. Like, if you're going to play the team, you know it's concentrated in three or four players, and you move on. You set and forget it, like the old Ron Popeil thing there. Like, just, you know what to get with Carolina. I think you're totally spot on there.
Especially with the pace that I mean, the Giants have been trying to play at. Like, they're just trying to, like, pound Saquon, and Carolina is just like, okay, yeah, we'll just run Cam, CMC, and then Cam will throw, like, maybe 30 times, 25, 30 times, 20 completions, and Funches will have, like, 8 targets, and CMC will have, like, 15. Like, okay.
Yeah. And then they win the game, yeah. Basically the recipe. What about the Giants side of the ball here, Mike? A lot of problems in New York.
Yeah, I don't love them going into Carolina. That defense is fairly aggressive. The Giants, OL, not quite as fixed as people had thought it would be coming into the year. But that said, Saquon Barkley is a special talent. He's startable in any week. He did it against a team like Jacksonville. He can do it against the Panthers. He's got a passing floor. He's always going to be involved.
The only question I have, and I wrote this down in my notes for the week, there's some systemic problems there in New York, and I don't think they've figured out how quite best to use Saquon's talent, right? Like, they're running him less than 15 times a game in a lot of games. I know that's, you know, the games are running away from them and stuff like that.
10 attempts against the Saints.
What's that about, right? Like, I'm watching that game, and I'm like, this kid is super talented. You got to give him the rock more than 10 times a game in between the tackles. I mean, I don't understand. So that would be my only hesitation. I'm with you. He's a superstar in the making, super talent. But I have no faith in Eli, no faith in Shermer. I mean, the Giants is kind of a mess.
That said, in that same, you know, he still has 8 targets in that game for 6 receptions. He goes over 100 yards for the fourth time. 400 combined yards for the fourth time out of 4 games he's played, and a touchdown, 3 out of 4. Like, no matter what happens with that team and that game script, he's the guy. The other guy, you know, we're all waiting on the Odell breakout game. Carolina's got not the best cornerbacks. They've got a little bit of talent, but nobody that can hang with Odell. So a lot of people kind of thought it was going to be last week, given what the Saints have given up to some notable receivers that burned people. I always like to jump on a guy the week after he burns people. So I'll take a shot on Odell Beckham.
That's probably about it with the Giants, right? I don't see any other. Maybe Sterling Shepard?
What do we think? Sterling Shepard's a nice floor with Ingram out. Like, he's the safety blanket, the outlet valve now. So he had a good game last week.
All right. Anything else on this game? All right. Let's move on to the other New York team, and that's the Jets. And they are hosting the Broncos that are coming off that tough Monday night loss last night against the Chiefs. The over-under, 42.5. The Jets are 2.5-point favorites. Mike, why don't you walk us through the Denver side of the football?
It'd be nice if they could settle on a running back, because they've got some talent. We've talked about it a bunch so far this season. Even if they could just get Devontae Booker out of the mix, because he's just not anywhere near as good as either of these guys. I mean, Royce Freeman showed some really nice rushing abilities, some chunk gains, broken tackles, good vision. And Philip Lindsay is an absolute spark plug. You know, he runs, 100 miles an hour right out of the gate. So those two guys would be a great tandem if they could eliminate Booker, the third wheel.
Yeah, they put in towards those ending drives fourth quarter yesterday. Yeah, they had Booker in some of those packages, and then as a Broncos acolyte, I'm like, what are you guys doing? Get him off the field. We don't want to see any Booker. That story's done.
You're trying to win the game. Like, I get in the first half if he's part of your rotation, right, or whatever, but you can't be afraid to hurt his feelings. He's just not as good as the other guys.
He really isn't. What about the passing game in Denver?
I tend to favor Emmanuel Sanders over Demaryius Thomas. He's a more versatile receiver. He's got, I think, a better ability to create long gains at this point than Demaryius does. You know, it's
going to be interesting. They seem to be getting him the ball in space, too, like on some sweeps and some reverses and that type of stuff, too.
Yeah, so. some versatility there. If he's in the slot this week, Buster Skrine, he's had up and down years. I think this is probably due for a down year. He's probably got the best matchup. They've got solid outside corners, the Jets, Trumaine Johnson and Morris Claiborne. So that kind of should funnel things to Sanders if I was going to take a shot at the passing option.
All right. What about the Jets side of the ball, Jason? What do you like there?
Probably the Denver defense. Yeah, there's
an angry Denver defense coming off of that divisional loss.
Yeah, I mean, Inunu is going to get targets, and that's about it. I don't really see this the Jets really being able to do a whole lot here.
I think I might if I was betting on this game just straight up, I might take the Broncos in a basically must win game. The way their division is shaking up, they got to go out there and get the win. So that's going to be a long day for Sam Darnold, I think.
Even with Inunua, like getting all these, I mean, he's just getting like peppered with targets every single week, but it's such a low like A dot, and he doesn't do a whole lot after he catches it. So he's like not even, I mean, if somebody that gets double digits targets every week is usually like a pretty good like cash option at least, and he's like not even that really right now.
Yeah, totally. So. All right, let's move on to a game that's going to be really fun aesthetically to watch. It's going to be maybe the game of the week, and that is Jacksonville going into the still undefeated Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead Stadium. The over-under in this game is 49, a little higher than I had anticipated with Jacksonville's defense. Kansas City, 3.5-point favorites. Jason, you want to run us through those Gangbuster Chiefs.
This is probably a week I wouldn't play a whole Chiefs just because it's against Jacksonville. We know how good Jacksonville's defense is. They've been, you know, top of the league for a couple years now. My little cheat sheet here, it looks like we might have some bad weather, but of course we're on Tuesday and that's like pretty much a week away, so who knows? But Mahomes, I still think he's gonna win this one. It's so hard to bet against that guy.
You know, a guy I like off their offense in this matchup, and I kind of concur that Jacksonville's defense has been proven over the course of, you know, 20 games or so, or you know, better part of 2 years. I like Travis Kelce. They figured out a way to get him the ball. Doesn't matter who they're playing. I like Travis Kelce a lot in this matchup. I think his floor is very high. I think his ceiling is actually high as well too in this matchup. So, of all the pieces on the Kansas City offense, I really like Travis Kelce.
I'd be interested to see what their approach is if they give him the Gronk treatment and move Jalen Ramsey onto Kelce, because if Sammy Watkins doesn't go, he had a hamstring in the middle of that game this week. There's Tyreek Hill's in the slot most of the time, so there's less to worry about on the outside.
Yeah, and I thought about the way they defended Gronk, you know, in the AFC title game and then earlier this season, and that was definitely a consideration of mine, but I figure Andy Reid will figure out a way to scheme to get Kelce the ball in space. He's shown it over the first 4 weeks here, so I'm gonna get back on that train, I think, with the Chiefs there. Anything on the Jacksonville side of the ball here, Mike?
Yeah, I actually really like it, given that the Chiefs defense is fairly atrocious and they're going to probably score points. It's not a given, but I think Jacksonville, as good as the defense is, like we saw what a good offense can do against a team on the road in the Thursday night game this past week where the Vikings – really solid defense got torn apart. So could totally draw them into a shootout. Bortles is always a good price. It's a bit of a roller coaster, but could be a good spot. Doesn't sound like Leonard Fournette is likely to play, so TJ Yeldon makes an interesting option. He does a lot of the passing work. He can run a little bit. He's not a bruiser or anything, but he gets what's blocked. He'll get opportunities.
And we talked about – I'm sorry. We talked about the way their offense runs without Fournette, I know, a couple weeks ago as well. It's just a different type of thing. Bortles kind of – they kind of unleash Blake Bortles, which is a very tough word to say. But and their offense just seems to thrive, which is kind of odd. So I don't think – I think Fournette might be on the shelf for a couple weeks here. The way it sounds, until they can get the hamstring right. So, yeah, I might be with you here on Jacksonville side of the ball.
Yeah, and as far as their receivers go, it's such a hard one to predict. Like, they just have no rhyme or reason. It was Keelan Cole to start the year. Then it was D.D. Westbrook, and then it was Dante Moncrief. Like, you know, maybe they just go in order, and we're back on the Cole game again. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. That's a little bit of a roulette wheel there, but I think I like Cole of the mix there. I think I like Cole this week, myself personally, against the porous Kansas City Chiefs defense. So
yeah, I mean they've all got their strengths, but Cole's kind of the best all around receiver, and Westbrook's a bit of a deep threat.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Baltimore coming off a really nice win against the Steelers on Sunday night, is going to Cleveland, to the just hard luck Cleveland Browns. The over under is 47.5. Baltimore is a 3-point favorite. Jason, why don't you walk us through those Browns and what do you like on their side of the ball?
Well, the Browns. Baker didn't look too bad, did he?
No.
He made a couple bad mistakes, but he didn't look too bad. It was nice to see Chubb get a couple runs, but he still only got three opportunities.
Yeah, like a 34-yard average.
Yeah. The first one, like, the dude broke 60-something yards, and then, his last run was, a 40-yard touchdown or something like that. Like, why aren't you giving this dude the ball more? I don't understand it.
Well, but Carlos Hyde has been productive, so that's where the problem lies, right? Until Hyde loses a job, even with Chubb's talent, and now you're seeing kind of why George was so good. It's tough. Like, I don't know.
You got to give him more than three touches a game, though. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, especially if he breaks, three carries and over 100 yards. Yeah,
right. I mean. Like of all the backfields that should be an even split, like, that one needs to be an even split.
But, again, it's Cleveland, and it's Hugh Jackson, and it's Todd Haley.
Decision-making.
Yeah, so. Anything else on the Cleveland side of the ball?
Landry, because he's going to get his targets, and he can break one off too. So they're not using him just like exclusively out of slot. They're trying to get him like use more downfield and stuff. So we know Baker. I mean, we saw Baker targeting him a lot in the first game that he was in downfield. So I really like Jarvis here. Callaway was still getting a bunch of targets. And just dropping balls, just like he and Njoku. I don't know if they hang out together a lot and just drop balls all the time. But
practice with the jugs machine bouncing off your hands.
Yeah. I
am a little interested against in Callaway.
Yeah, against that defense, they just got to get over those drop problems. And maybe with a couple more games with Baker, they'll kind of find their rhythm. But this is probably a game where I probably wouldn't invest too heavily in those guys.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Baltimore's defense. They showed me a little bit of something on Sunday night, and so I'm a little hesitant here. I think Vegas is hesitant a little bit too, because the total's coming down on the Browns here a little bit. So I'm a little hesitant to invest too much in the Browns Browns defense there. Browns
interesting because the Ravens looked so bad against the Bengals on the road,
right?
And then they look so good against the Steelers on the road. Now, the Bengals was a Thursday night game, so maybe that had something to do with it, but.
Yeah. Mike, you want to go into the Ravens? Anything you see there on their side of the ball going up against the division rival?
I mean, the Browns defense finally looked like the way I expected it to look, giving up, you know, points and points late. The Ravens have got something going here on offense. They've got a really good pace. They're one of the fastest teams pace-wise. They've got plenty of options. They really did a good job this offseason bringing in new receiving options. They've got a lot of tight ends that they like to use. Actually, like they've got four tight ends that they'll send targets to, given who's active. That makes a bit of a problem for us picking who's who. Hayden Hurst, as he gets healthier and more involved, is probably going to be the guy at tight end, and they do love their tight ends. Outside of that, Smokey Brown, you know, if this game gets a little bit off the rails, they got to compete a little more since they're on the road. Smokey Brown is the guy they're going to look to get him back into the game or to take the lead.
And he looked real nice on prime time there on Sunday night. So,
yeah.
All right. Let's move on to the game that I think most people in the fantasy community will be focused on. That's Atlanta traveling up to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers. Big over-under of 57.5, and the Steelers are 3.5-point favorites. Jason, why don't you walk us through the Pittsburgh offensive unit?
Let's see here. We got Big Ben. We got James Conner. We got Antonio Brown. We got Juju Smith-Schuster. We have Vance McDonald. We have Jesse James. We have James Washington. We have all those guys.
Plenty of options.
Yeah, and we can pretty much use any of them. I really like Vance. Vance is just trucking guys. And his usage at the beginning of the season was just because he was coming off that injury.
Right. He's healthy. He's a beast.
He's
great tight end. Do you like Connor a lot in this matchup, given what we know Atlanta does with running backs and especially pass-catching running backs?
Oh, let me check my sheet here. Let's see where I have him.
I like Connor a lot. I think he trains Atlanta.
It's a home game, and they're going to use him. We had the report that, I guess, Lev's planning on coming back to the team during the bye week. So they might just, like, start running Connor into the ground, kind of like what they do with Bell every year. Maybe get him even more touches, more like that 30-touch game that he had to open the season.
Right.
But the Falcons' defense is so, so atrocious right now with all the injuries that they've had to key players that, I mean, really, you can just throw your dart. I mean, I probably won't. AB is, you know, all the way up there at the top, like, rightly so. I think he's like second in the NFL in targets right now behind Adam Thielen. Juju is like third in targets. So I'll definitely take the discount to Juju. And that's going back to that thing that I mentioned at the top, that the wide receiver two, I mean, there's so much value with, especially with these teams that have, you know, a big guy, and both these teams do. Julio Jones, the yards leader in the NFL right now, Antonio Brown, and then, yeah, Vance. Like, yeah. I really love Vance in this matchup because he's just going to crush it.
Yeah, he's definitely becoming a household name. What about the Falcons here, Mike? Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm playing big into my Dynasty League. I'm playing Big Ben over Kirk Cousins and Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees this week.
Wow. So,
Dynasty League, I got to
play. Wow.
The big roster, but
wow, yeah. What about the Falcons here? Yeah, that's a big stack. What about the Falcons here, Mike?
Yeah, you know, definitely don't forget about the Falcons when you're building lineups, given that they're the other side of this equation. You know, with some of the unpredictability in the passing game, you know, Calvin Ridley's catching the touchdowns, but Jones is getting the yardage. Devonta Freeman could be back as well, mixing up the backfield touches. Matt Ryan's probably your clearest path to points. He's an expensive option. I don't love that for Matt Ryan on the road out of the dome. But yeah, Julio, you know, when he has a monster game, he has a monster game. And, you know, he puts up 150 yards and a touchdown. You need him in your lineup. You're not going to be able to take down a tournament without a guy who does that, I think. Unless it's a week like last week when everyone did it.
Right. Yeah.
Matt Ryan is $100 less than Big Ben.
Right.
I mean, I'm just going to pay for Ben in that situation.
Exactly. Find the bucks and go up to Big Ben.
Yeah. I'll definitely have some game stacks of this game, and I might play both. I mean, I definitely will play both of them, kind of like how I did last week with, I had a bunch of Dalton lineups and a bunch of Ryan lineups, just game stacking that game. But
right, yeah. Your Ben and other Steelers run it back with Jones and Ridley.
Yeah.
Either or.
All right. Let's move on to a game that we won't spend a lot of time on because we probably don't need to. Tennessee, coming off their impressive win, is going to Buffalo to play the Bills. The over-under is a stinky 39 points, and the Titans are 3.5-point favorites. Mike.
Turns out the Bills are who we thought they were.
Potentially. Mike, why don't you talk us through Tennessee's side of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, on the road, it's not quite as peachy, but like I said, the Bills' defense is not good. Their offense is not good. They might find a little bit of fight at home, but I think Mariota isn't a terrible option given that he can run the ball a little bit and seems to be able to throw the football again. Out of their receiving core, Corey Davis is probably the guy I'm going to target given that he's got a huge target share. They do mix the other guys in, but I don't think they're going to need to throw too much this week. That said, out of the two backs, either are fine. I want to buy into that Derrick Henry gets to ice the game out in the second half and rack up some carries narrative, so it might finally be a usable game for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, that's probably where it stops and starts with Tennessee. Jason, 30 seconds. What about the Bills?
Tennessee defense. Is that
no?
You already used that.
I know. I should have saved that, but I was like, no, gotta go back to it.
Perfect. All right, let's move on. Let's go to the 4 o'clock game. Oakland going out down the coast to play the Chargers. The over under here is 53.5. The Chargers are 5.5-point favorites. Jason, what about those Superchargers?
Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler. Austin Eckler is just going. I actually had some lines with Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler in them last week. He's not getting a whole lot of touches, but they're super, super effective touches. I think this is a thing. And if you need a cheap guy, he's someone that's always in there to consider. Keenan, I keep having Keenan way up high in my rankings, and he's just not doing what I want. He's my number one receiver this week, and I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't see that as a bad play because it has a nice. This game has a nice over under, Uncle Phil, as I like to call him, will chuck that ball all over the place. And they've got Melvin Gordon. I like Keenan Allen here for 6-7 balls, probably, 8-9 targets. And I like him to get over 100 yards. I mean, this is a game that I'm thinking about stacking. It's the afternoon game. This is a nice little spot. I don't know how sneaky it is anymore, but the over-under's gone up.
It's your top pivot if you're staying away from Atlanta.
Exactly. So
yeah, Melvin Gordon is just a lock for me every week. I'm gonna play him every single week for the whole season. So
I like how you stay on brand. You're Melvin Gordon all day, every day. We even shouted him out last week when you were not.
We got him in last week for you.
I heard.
All right, Mike. What about the Raiders?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't forget the other side in a shootout. I probably would prefer, if you're going quarterback, to go Rivers. To add a pass-catching option here from the Raiders. You know, take your pick. We talked about it last week. It's three guys with Cooper, Nelson, and Cook. It was Cook's turn last week. I kind of like Jordy here. You know, Chargers have been susceptible to tight ends in the past, but I'm not sure you can expect it anywhere near what Cook put up last week, especially given he doesn't always score touchdowns. Jordy's got a little bit of a better matchup on the outside than Cooper does. So I would take a stab at him.
Yeah, I feel like both sides of this are in play. Like, you pick and choose like what you want on Raiders or the Chargers here. I like this as a, if you're going to play the afternoon slate, focus on this game. If you're going to play the main slate, I'd also really pivot to this game, because I really think there's a lot of goodness here for both sides.
Yeah, and Marshawn Lynch had a long touchdown called back this past week, so he's got some life left in him.
Yeah, he does.
He was beast boded.
Yeah, he does. A couple years off, maybe Le'Veon seeing that too. Like, hey, you take a year off and come back and be fresh, like
rejuvenate.
Yep. So.
Hey, we had another week last week of Amari Cooper being good, and apparently, all it takes is double-digit targets, so I don't know why Gruden can't figure that out.
we don't have enough time on the podcast to go into all the things wrong with John Gruden and the Raiders, but maybe we'll do that in a future podcast. We'll talk about Gruden, because, it's special. His quote he had today was just great. So, all right, we'll move on to another game that's going to be fun to watch. It's the Vikings going to Philadelphia to take on the defending champs. The over-under is 45. The Eagles are 3-point favorites. Jason, why don't you talk a little bit about the Eagles, and then Mike, you know, if you want to fill in on the Eagles, go ahead, because I know it's your squad.
Doesn't that over-under seem a little bit low? Like 45, 21, 24, 3-point spread. That seems low to me.
Yeah, but maybe Vegas is thinking about the defenses here, though. I mean, both of the, the Rams, right? They're just like, just put them in their own little category. We'll get to them in a little bit. Just put them in their own category, and what they do to people shouldn't be indicative of, like, maybe the squads they're playing against.
Yeah.
So we got Wentz. Wentz is my number 5 quarterback, right behind Big Ben. So that's pretty high. That's like a value-based thing. It's not like I think he's going to be the fifth best quarterback. That's like, but I haven't projected at like over 40 attempts right now, which might be a little bit high. This is kind of where I'm going. Like, I have both these projected for about 40 attempts. Like, so, like, I'm thinking this game is going to be more high scoring than that. You know, I didn't look at that. The over-under until just now. It just seems low.
Well, so then this is the quintessential, if you see it that way, and the folks are looking to pivot off again that Atlanta Steeler game, this may be a way to go, because we know the offenses here are both pretty prolific and can put up points in a hurry. We saw, you know, what the Vikings did, and we know what the Eagles can do, and Wentz is back there, and Alshon's back there. So there's some goodness on the Eagles side of the ball. So maybe this is another way to be different in those lineups, and maybe win one of the GPPs by going to this kind of low total game.
Yeah, isn't Ajayi supposed to be back this week?
But he was back. He's back full. But okay, they're always going to rotate.
Yeah.
Something I'm interested in is Xavier Rhodes' hamstring going to be good to go? Because he's been having trouble with that all season. So that could be, you know, a guy that people normally stay away from. It could be a plus for Alshon, and he's been getting beat.
Yeah, Wentz is getting into his rhythm, and if this offense is, you know, it looks like everybody's back and everybody's ready to go. So, and they brought back Jordan Matthews.
Got a touchdown.
Yeah, nice play. Yeah, nice
play. It's ridiculous. They let him go, sign with the Pats. didn't even make the roster, just kind of chilled out and waited for someone to need him, and he just goes back to his old team.
Yeah. Yep. What about the Vikings side of the ball here?
Yeah, you don't really want to use running backs against the Eagles, especially at home, given their injury woes, the Vikings with Cook and all. I'm staying away from the backfield. Cousins, you know, could be a tough day for him if that offensive line has trouble blocking the way it has a little bit so far. Philly's an aggressive pass rush, and they've got some studs there. But I think Thielen and Diggs could have good days without Cousins having a good day. They don't have to coincide. I probably have some interest in Diggs, given that I think Jalen Mills, he played over his head down the stretch last season. He's just a average at best corner who can get beat deep. So he'd probably be my preferred tournament option. In a cash game, Thielen, just he gets such a target volume. It's hard to stay away from Thielen.
Yeah, I like Minnesota's passing offense, even in this tough matchup. They'll find a way, and I think you're right. You could probably get shares of those two key wideouts and not maybe having shares of Kirk in this game and be all right. So, all right, we'll move on to a game that'll probably be quick as well. Arizona going to San Francisco to play the banged-up 49ers. The over-under is 41. The Niners are 4.5-point favorites. Jason, anything on the San Francisco side of the ball?
George Kittle, I really like George Kittle. He's going to be a target monster for C.J. Beathard. They played together in college, so they were like roommates in college. So narrative streak, let's go fire up George Kittle. We saw it the first, yep. We saw it this week here.
The thing going around on Twitter is, they showered together.
Yeah, they showered together.
That's a very interesting narrative to have there. I don't know how I feel about all that. But I know that Pro Football Focus has Kittle right now as the number one tight end in their rankings. And so he's going to be, I think, kind of where you get most of your San Francisco action in this game if you're looking for it. Anything else with the Niners?
Him and Breida. Breida's just been real efficient. I know he's still pretty much splitting with Morris most of the time, but he's just been really efficient, and I expect the 49ers to get out to some kind of a lead, even with C.J. Beathard throwing the ball, just because the Cardinals have been so amazing with their play calling that
What about the Cardinals side of the ball here, Mike? What do you like, if anything, here?
I think David Johnson could have a decent day. He's still a nice price. Things are getting slowly better. They're upping his usage. I don't know why it's taken him a quarter of a season to figure it out. But and Rosen didn't look that bad. I know his line was not great, but he got let down by his pass catchers. There was a ton of drops, some drop touchdowns. He actually dimed the ball all over the place, and his receivers, I guess, were so used to the ball not being catchable that it was a bit of a shock. If you were playing like an afternoon slate, something like that, you could use Rosen. Pass catchers is kind of tough to predict where you're going there because kind of spread it around all over the place.
Yeah, and I think you're right on the money here with David Johnson. He's due. I mean, he had an okay game last week. He's due for a breakout game. The pairing of him and Rosen, Rosen, I think it's going to be all right. I think Arizona fans should be okay. I mean, Rosen has all the tools, and it'll be all right. But that pairing of the young quarterback, trusted, check down monster you could have in David Johnson, I think I like you said, if you're going to use – you're going to play late slate, go Rosen. And then maybe using David Johnson as a differentiation play here in week 5. All right, let's move out to the Pacific Northwest. The mighty, mighty Los Angeles Rams are going to face Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. The over-under is 50 in this game. the Rams are 7.5-point favorites. Mike, anything on the LA side of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, everything. Yeah, the girly is girly. You know, it's. I started talking about it last week. We're getting back into the team cram them in mindset. Just take the two short backs that are expensive, get them in there at all costs. There's receiving options that you can get away with. So, you know, I'd absolutely want some girly. Seattle, they tend to play up or down to their competition, so they could actually show up here. But after what we saw Thursday night, the Rams are rested. They've had time to prepare. It's a tough place to play in Seattle, but you know, Cooks, Woods, and Kupp are probably one of the better wide receiver trios going at the moment. And Goff has a great production level through them. So.
Yeah, you're definitely seeing something special with this Rams team. You can see the makings. You can see it coming last year when they were just like young. You can see something special with this team.
Yeah, and you know, if I had to target one guy out of the passing game, it's probably Cooks on the outside there, away from Shaquille Griffin.
What about the Seahawks here, Jason?
If I play any of the Seahawks, I'd probably just stick to Russell Wilson naked.
In a shootout.
Yeah, Disley is out, so maybe take a shot at Nick Bennett again. Is like somebody that's super, super cheap. But other than that, it's probably just an offense I'll stay away from. Doug Baldwin is probably the best receiving option. So, yeah.
Yeah, just, I mean, the running back situation is all muddied up when Mike Davis had a good game. Yeah, you just must stay away. I agree there. Yeah. All right.
I could see Baldwin there. You can attack the Rams in the middle.
Yeah.
If you have to.
Yeah, I'd probably just go Russ naked if I was going to play anybody.
All right, so we'll move on to the Battle for Texas, the Sunday night affair. Not on the main slate, but we cover it anyway. Dallas is... going to Houston, 45 is the over-under, and the Texans are 3.5-point favorites. So, Jason, what about the Texans? What do you like here?
The Texans, man. Deshaun Watson, he's my number one quarterback, second week in a row. I played a lot of them.
I like that.
Played a lot of them last week. He did pretty good, I think.
Yeah, he did.
Threw two, ran for one.
Yep. We'll see, man, Will Fuller injured again, right?
Yeah.
So,
Taxes and a Will Fuller injury.
Yeah. So, you go Nuke Hopkins, Kiki Kuti, and Deshaun Watson. And that's...
You know, I actually mentioned Sammy Coates on a podcast earlier.
Sammy Coates.
He's Fuller's out. He's the guy opposite Nuke.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm not touching Sammy Coates.
Man, that's like part of the Sammy Coates. That's going
I'm,
in the.
I'm putting them in my captain spot on Sunday night. You can't talk me out of it.
Ooh, that's like going into the damaged goods pile at the grocery market on that one, Sammy Coates.
Yeah.
All right. What about the Cowboys?
Yeah, you talked about it earlier. It's Zeke and nothing else.
Yeah, it's just amazing how they're winning games, but on the back of. Mr. Elliott. The
Texans defense isn't as good as its reputation, so I'm not scared off of Zeke here.
Yeah. Okay, and then we will round out week five with what should be an entertaining game. Washington will go down to the Bayou to take on the Saints. Big over-under of 52 here. The Saints are a touchdown favorite. Jason, what do you like with the Saints?
Mark Ingram is back. This is another player that we're getting back this week. Angry Mark Ingram, well rested.
Sign me up, right? Are you going to that?
Yeah, this is the time of year. He's like pretty cheap too to be a running back in this offense. I mean,
is he more of a FanDuel or DraftKings play? What do you think?
He's not going to catch as many passes. And he's going to be more involved in the goal line, so
FanDuel,
probably more FanDuel. But there was a stretch last year where all I did was I just put Alvin. I started all my lineups with Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, and they were both like putting up. They, I think at the beginning, Mark Ingram was getting like 20 touches to Kamara's like 12 ish, like total touches, and it kind of balanced out as the season went through, and then actually went into Kamara's favor just a little bit towards the end. But it was still pretty close. I mean, like 15-15 pretty much total touches. And when I did my early season projections, I really only docked Mark Ingram like one catch per game because he only gets like three or four catches per game. So he's still going to get like two or three catches a game. So it's not really going to cut into his production that much. So, yeah, these running backs. Then you got Mike Thomas is just – he had a disappointing week. But
on the road, though.
Yeah, they're gonna be they're gonna be in the dome, and Breeze can will go in the dome. Like he definitely has the dome splits. Like Ted Ginn. I mean, I really want Cam Meredith to get more involved. I know you talked about Cam a couple weeks ago, and then he finally got
one touchdown.
No, and then Breeze has got some narrative going with, you know, potentially breaking a lot of the NFL records here on Monday night.
What, 201 yards?
212, something like that, or 201 or 212, to break the all-time passing record. So what about the Washington side of the ball, Mike?
Yeah, I don't love Washington to get drawn into a shootout. They're kind of a safe team. You know, Alex Smith isn't a risk taker, neither is Jay Gruden. But if it does, you know, go that way, I think Chris Thompson makes a nice play out of the backfield. The Saints are tough to run on, apparently. I don't know if that's just kind of a fluke to start the year or not, but it's been pretty legit. And so Peterson, it may be ineffective. Give me some Thompson there. Pass catcher is probably Jamison Crowder. He's got the best matchup on PJ Williams, who's pretty much garbage. You know, if you could convince me they were going to take some shots downfield, Josh Doctson could get it done. But I've been trying to.
Yeah, I'm all out on Josh Doctson. I gave him. You know, better part of last year, and then there's some injuries involved and whatnot, and just waiting for that Can't wait longer with him, so I'm all out on him.
Yeah, so it'll be more of the same, I think, from Washington. The passing game funnels through Thompson and maybe Jordan Reed.
Very good. All right, gentlemen. So we have gone through the game by game. So I'm going to turn to Jason for his lock of the week.
My lock of the week. It's got to be my number one quarterback, Deshaun Watson.
Like that a lot.
That's who I'm going with. That's most of my lineups will start with him. So
cannot go wrong that way. Cannot go wrong that way. All right, Mike, who are you fantasy fading this week?
Fade for me, it's a pretty easy one. Anybody on the Bills, you're not too interested to begin with, but really low total, solid defense coming into town. Kind of a fantasy wasteland at the moment.
Yeah. And I'm going to give you guys a sleeper, and it's a game I talked a little bit about, sort of working through the game by games. I like Derek Carr this week as a sleeper in what I think is going to be a shootout, and it's going to be a nice matchup for him. A lot of weapons. Maybe Gruden's figuring it out. I don't know. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt a little bit. But I like Derek Carr. I like what he's got to throw to. The Chargers defense has definitely been overrated and not as good as we thought coming in the season. Obviously, Bosa is a big reason why they're probably not as well versus as we thought they'd be. But I like Derek Carr as a sleeper this week. So, any closing thoughts from you guys?
Just to cram the running backs in, man, on the main slate. I'm going to be looking Gurley and Gordon. I know that's going to eat up a lot of salary, but in this climate of running back scarcity, I think you need to do it.
It's not a bad strategy at all. What about you, Jason?
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. Like, just like right now I have Zeke as my number one running back. He was my number one running back last week. I played a lot of them. It paid off. I tried to cram him and Kamara into, you know. So I had a couple lineups with, like, him, Kamara, and Gio. It was, like, super, super nice. Chalky, but you know, there was no other running back combo that was really that effective unless, like, maybe you faded Gio and went, like, James White or something like that. But I didn't see any reason to do that. So this week, it'll probably be, like, I've got Zeke, Yeldon. I'm assuming Fournette's going to be out. So, like, Zeke and then Yeldon as a cheap guy. So, you know, that's probably where I'll start it out. And then Gurley Gordon Hunt are 3, 4, 5. So those are the five guys that I'm going to be trying to play and trying to build my rosters around.
Sounds good. Yeah, I think trust your research, guys, that are playing this game. Trust your research. Do your research. Trust it. And as always, seek us out via Twitter, at Spartan Ziller, at J. Moschel, and at @Roto_Juan for the three of us. And with that, I bid you all adieu, and until next week, we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Later.